first case that I have on my docket is 23CA8075. Is there anyone here on that matter? It's Betty Golden versus Publix. Okay. Next case is 23CA781, David McCarter versus Lynn University.
Hi, Judge. Sarah Leon, on behalf of the defendant, Lynn University, I have my colleague Garrett Kamen present as well.
Good morning, Ms. Leon. I guess it's afternoon. Good afternoon, Ms. Leon.
Yeah.
Kamen.
Good afternoon, Judge.
So I saw that you had filed a motion to continue. Anyone else here for a case management conference on a case that I haven't addressed yet? Okay. All right. So then I have 2018CA2317. We are here. Can I have the appearances of the parties, please?
Yes, Your Honor. Robert Sweetapple and Cynthia Miller on behalf of the plaintiff, Charles Rivard, guardian.
Mr. Sweetapple, Ms. Miller?
Your Honor, Catherine Lewis, also on behalf of the guardian. I represent him in the guardianship, just here to speak if I'm spoken to.
Ms. Lewis?
Excuse me, Your Honor. Inger Garcia on behalf of defendants, and I do have a court reporter, Kim.
Good afternoon, Judge. Kelter. Kim Kelter, court reporter.
Good afternoon, Madam Court Reporter and Ms. Garcia. So we set the matter for a case management conference at the conclusion of, when we adjourned on the 3-hour evidentiary hearing. I wanted to find out how much additional time you all expected to need for that evidentiary hearing. And I also wanted you all to have gone over your availability because there were some outstanding depositions. I received a document called a meet and confer report, which doesn't sound like there was very much agreement on anything.
Your Honor, if I may, I know that when I looked at everybody's calendars for the motion, because you set today for the motion on my protective order and your motion to compel, the 3 days I see available for all counsel was September 5th in the morning, September 5th in the afternoon, September 20th in the morning, and September 26th in the morning. And that's what you asked us to make sure that we gave you those dates for you to set the hearing half hour for each protective order.
What was the not the 5th, the 6th, was it the 6th of September?
No, September 5th in the afternoon, September 20th in the morning. And September 26th in the morning. Those are the dates that all three attorneys said they were available.
Okay. Does that sound right, Mr. Sweetapple?
Yes, we only need Amber Patwell for one of those dates. She's a witness, and her right to a privilege has been determined by Judge Burton, who entered an order finding there was no privilege as to her relationship, lawyer-client relationship.
All right. Of the 3 dates that Ms. Garcia just provided to me, the only one that I would be able to give to you would be Friday, September 20th. But September 20th was a date that you provided? Was that right?
Yes.
Yes, Your Honor.
I have, for a 30-minute hearing?
Yes.
I have Friday, September 20th at 9 a.m.
That's fine with me, Your Honor.
Does that work for you, Mr. Sweetapple?
Yes, Your Honor. And that would be on the discovery with regard to both Ms. Garcia and Ms. Patwell, that 30 minutes.
That's correct. Does my ruling on that affect how much time you need to set aside or...
Well, the issue, you know, I was trying to keep the hearing very narrow and hoping that I get a stipulation with regard to the committee reports. And on the eve of the hearing, I got a motion for continuance setting more than a dozen witnesses. As the court may know from our motion to set this hearing back on June 3rd, Judge Oftedal required some cooperation so that I could set depositions, and I do need to take In addition, Mr. Bernstein and Patricia Sahm Jr.'s deposition, as they are going to be called. And I've learned now they're going to call a Dr. Sugar, who I need to depose. And the problem I have is I'm not getting cooperation on dates. And as you can see from the filing, Ms. Garcia, you know, has some dates available. I'd like to have a commitment on the record as to what dates I can take depositions involving Ms. Garcia, so that I can take Patricia Sahm, her client, Mr. Bernstein, as well as her expert. So if we could get some commitment and know that those dates are going to be made available, that would help us.
Ms. Garcia, I did see that you are unavailable for, you have a lot of unavailability. Do you have any availability that you can provide?
I did give him many available dates for August, September, and October, and so did Ms. Patwell. But I don't know to what extent you're allowing depots. We're in the middle of a trial, and now he wants to take a lot of depots, and I don't know.
That's sort of my question is, if you needed this information before the hearing, why didn't you try to get it before the hearing?
Your Honor. We did file the motion for this status conference, and you could not give us a hearing until after the special assessed hearing was scheduled. That's why at the beginning of the hearing, I said we were commencing without prejudice to our request for relief that we filed in advance of the hearing. We've been trying since June 3rd to get these depots.
And what I had hoped that you would do when I had you all meet and confer is, like I said, rather than testing my knowledge of the evidence code for issues where there isn't really a factual dispute, if there were any stipulations, it doesn't seem like you were able to come to any, including that Ms. Sahm was the surviving spouse of Mr. Sahm.
No, so, we did agree to that, Your Honor. But no,
in the notes that you forwarded to my JA, you indicated that you could not agree to that as phrased.
No, Your Honor, let me see. No, I have a green type next to it.
Then I must not have the most recent version.
Oh, but no, that's beneath it. When you see the red, it says not agreed as worded without further review. That's under it. Number one is agreed to. Obviously, she's a surviving spouse. Your Honor, the thing is, we had this meeting agreed Friday afternoon at 1:30. It was my birthday Saturday, and I was out of the office Saturday and Sunday. I told him this morning I would try to do the best I can to go through the stipulations. I haven't had a chance to go through with my client. I mean, that's less than 5 business hours. I'm trying to make every attempt, Your Honor, to work with these guys, but every time I get on the phone with Mr. Sweetapple, he wants to take my deposition, ask questions, and threaten me. So I don't know what to do, Your Honor. I'm really just,
I don't know what to do. Well, you're saying two things. You're saying I ordered you to meet and confer at the end of our last hearing, and then you did it at the end of the day before you were going away and haven't had a chance to really do it. So it doesn't sound like the spirit of the court's request was honored. From what you're telling.
I did try to meet and confer, but the meeting was not very productive because the entire time I felt attacked and threatened and fighting for my career, and I don't know how to handle this. I've never been in this position before with such an aggressive attitude against me and my clients, where any conversation is just not productive without...
Your Honor...
What I'm trying to find out from Mr. Sweetapple is Ms. Garcia's already testified in the hearing. Why do we need to take her deposition?
Because I haven't been able to obtain her communications with the other attorney who is allegedly a party to the settlement. You know, we've been trying since June 3rd to take Ms. Garcia's deposition and Ms. Patwell's deposition. They're both fact witnesses. They're both parties to the settlement. Ms. Garcia knew I was counsel of record. The evidence is going to show that Ms. Patwell actually, by her records, prepared a stipulation after the settlement was signed on the 23rd.
I recall the hearing. I'm not asking why you want to take Ms. Patwell's deposition. I'm asking why you need to take Ms. Garcia's deposition.
Ms. Garcia negotiated this settlement with someone who was not counsel of record. She represented that the settlement was for the same amount of money, which it wasn't. I'm trying to show fraud. I'm alleging that Miss Garcia is defensive, but I am alleging that she and Miss Powell were engaged in a fraud, and I think I'm going to prove it.
What I want you to do, I will set the September 20th date. I want you all, the September 20th date is going to be your two motions for protective order. Between now and then, I want Ms. Garcia, you to have a meet and confer, an actual meet and confer where you speak with your client and you abide by my order to actually try to narrow these issues, which is required by the local rules and it's required by rules of civil procedure and it's good practice. Because this would be the second hearing that I've had on this matter where you filed something at the 11th hour and indicated you had a problem getting what you needed to get ahead of time. You did it with the motion continue before Mr. Sweetapple's hearing, and now you're telling me that you weren't able to meet and confer when I ordered you to do it 2 weeks ago or a week ago. So,
Your Honor,
You have a September 20th date for the motion for protective order. I expect that it will have been done and the report on your meet and confer be filed a week before the motion for protective order is heard. Mr. Sweetapple, I would also like for you to try to narrow we're not litigating the underlying case. We're here on only your motion because she moved to continue her motion to set aside. So you may have other discovery that's relevant to other issues in the case. But
I don't. I have no
discovery. I don't know if you do or if you don't, but we're going to be here in perpetuity if we're taking discovery on every other issue other than the one thing that we're actually trying to decide right now, because Ms. Garcia did not try to set her 1540 motion to set aside.
Yeah, I'm not. There's no discovery needed for the 1.54. It's a matter of law. But I do. She does represent Mr. Bernstein, who went to the ward's home at night with others. I would like a date certain from Mr. Bernstein. She said on Friday she would get it. She now represents, believe it or not, the ward's daughter, who was the alleged other side of this transaction. I would like a date from her to take the ward's ward's daughter's depot, which I've been requesting. She indicated she would check into that. All of the conduct on behalf of the defendant is dilatory, as can be seen from the record. Your Honor, I ask that you order her this week to provide me with dates for her two clients' depots. They were parties to this alleged settlement, and I would like their testimony regarding their factual involvement.
I think that is a reasonable request. So I'm going to order Ms. Garcia to provide those deposition dates by close of business on Friday.
So, Your Honor, there's 10 depots that he wants to take, and I have depots that I have to take if he takes those. So I don't know how you want us to handle those.
I'm asking, I'm ordering just those two depositions.
Mr. Bernstein and Patty Somm Jr.?
For now, I'm not saying I won't order more in the future, but today I'm ordering those two.
That's fine, Your Honor. Patty Somm Jr. is in another state, so hers would have to be on Zoom. And I'm going to have her criminal attorney step in probably to represent her for this deposition.
I will leave that to you.
Okay.
Because I have an evidentiary hearing with
Your Honor.
Here to do that. It sounds like we won't know how much time we need to set aside for the conclusion of your motion until I rule on the protective order issue. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to defer ruling on scheduling the conclusion of that until the end of the protective order hearing on the 20th.
Thank you, Your Honor. We'll submit an order to propose order to Ms. Garcia and then to the court.
All right. Thank you all. You all have a nice day.
Thank you.